I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Welcome in to Vern's post-game show.
Massey not stopping in second and slides into third with a two-run triple.
Here's Josh Vernier.
All right, good evening. Two games in the books. 6-2 loss in the opener for the Royals as Brady Singer continues to limp into the offseason. But the boys respond in game two. They hang on to win 11-10 after almost blowing a 9-run lead. Happy to talk about it with you. Phone lines are open, 913-586-7610. It's the same number for our text line. If you can't find the words to describe these 18 innings of baseball you and I just watched, just listened to, just digested between two of the worst teams in Major League Baseball splitting a traditional doubleheader. Again, the phone number, 913-586-7610. And there's really three ways to go in tonight's show. I think there are three lanes to choose from if you decide to partake in this post-game show. There's the feel-good about baseball lane, there's the feel-good about the Royals lane, and then there's the let's keep it real lane. 913-586-7610. The let's feel good about baseball, let's feel good about the world scenario is, of course, Logan Porter. Choose that lane if you feel like talking about sunshines and lollipops. Logan Porter becoming the eighth Royal to debut this year. And yes, it's an amazing story that I think you've heard of over the course of the past 12 hours. If you need a refresher, I can give it to you. Congratulations, though, to Logan Porter. Always nice to see someone make their big league debut. And again, we've seen eight of them now this season. In fact, we've seen 56 different players for the Royals this year. That's second most in franchise history. Only the 2004 Boys in Blue needed more bodies to get through 162. So if you want to talk about all that is good in the world, we can talk Logan Porter. Now, if you want to talk about the Royals, you want to feel good about the Royals, where they are despite a record of 56 games below 500. If you want to feel good about the Royals, well, you can talk about Bobby Witt Jr., a three-hit day in game one of this day-night doubleheader. Bobby's 15th game of the season with at least three hits. That's the fifth most three-hit games in all of Major League Baseball. The only men in the sport, the only men in the world that have more three-hit games than Bobby Witt Jr., Ronald Acuna, Freddie Freeman, Luis Arraez, and Yandy Diaz. That's four All-Stars. So Bobby makes you feel good about the future. Mikel Garcia with that big RBI in the seventh inning as the Royals up 9-0 after three. They give it all back in the sixth inning. So now we're knotted up at 9 apiece, but Mikel Garcia with the man in scoring position and one out. He's never afraid. He's never intimidated. He's never falling victim to the situation, to the pressure, to the environment, to the bright lights and the big stage, whatever it is, Mikel Garcia appears to have done it plenty in his life. Now, he hasn't. He's only 23, and yet he carries himself like he's a 10-year vet. Garcia, with that RBI single in the seventh inning, puts the Royals up 10-9. They would not trail again. Garcia, with a three-hit game in game two. Second most three-hit games on the team. Mikel tonight with his ninth of the season. So if you want to talk about the bright future of your Kansas City Royals, I think it begins with Bobby and Mikel, and they showcased that earlier today. But if you choose the third and final lane, if you want to just keep it real as we approach midnight Eastern, if you want to just keep it real, the story of this day, 6-2 loss in game one, 11-10 victory in game two. The biggest takeaway is Brady Singer. Brady Singer, who in game one gives up 6 runs in 5 1/3 innings and takes the team out of the game right out of the gate. Right, Royals trail 5-0 after the first inning. Very similar to what Touki Toussaint did to the White Sox in game two. Right, he gave up 4 runs in the first, another 4 in the second, and the game we thought was over. Well, in game one, it was over when Brady Singer gave up a leadoff single to Tim Anderson, and then back-to-back walks, an RBI single to Eloy Jimenez, and an RBI single to Yoan Moncada. The first 5 men to the plate reach against Brady Singer, who has now allowed 20 earned runs in his last 18 innings. Now, I'm not reaching for, searching for any sort of a panic button when it comes to Singer. I think it's about time he eases into the offseason, but when I say that Brady's lackluster performance was by far the story of this doubleheader in Chicago, it's because I think it's now irrefutable. His trade value is at a point heading into the offseason where it just doesn't make sense to even entertain the idea of trading Brady Singer. Now, I'm not saying I was excited about the idea of trading him possibly this offseason, but with another performance like this, another instance in which it looks like, and we could talk about the World Baseball Classic and how that has impacted not only Brady Singer's season, but Bobby Witt Jr.'s season and so many of their teammates in the World Baseball Classic, how it's affected their season. But Brady looks tired. He says he feels fine, but the velocity is down. The results certainly are not there. I think it's pretty obvious that when it comes to Brady, when it comes to the future of Brady Singer and the Kansas City Royals, you revisit the idea of trading him next year at the deadline. Allow him to have a normal offseason, a normal spring training, and a normal ramp up to the regular season. Let's hope the Brady Singer that you and I fell in love with last season, in the second half of last season, the guy that had us so excited coming into this season, let's hope that guy returns. And then we'll revisit this conversation at the trade deadline. That, to me, is the biggest takeaway of the season. Or, excuse me, the biggest takeaway of this doubleheader. Because Brady has, what, 3 starts remaming? You can't save your season. You can't turn it around. You can't rebuild your trade value. Phone lines are open, 913-586-7610. So you pick a lane. Are we going to feel good about baseball? Are we going to feel good about the Royals? Or are we going to keep it real? Phone lines, text line. It's 913-586-7610. Royals drop game one, but they win game two. The record is now 45-101. We'll take a quick timeout and we'll get to your thoughts after this.
Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app.
Hey, this is John Rothstein, the host of Inside College Basketball Now, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, reminding you that our show is going to ramp up over the next 2 months. That's because we're counting down to Selection Sunday and March Madness. We will be coming to you each and every week with multiple episodes featuring exclusive interviews with the biggest and best names in the sport. It's the all-you-can-eat buffet for college basketball junkies everywhere.
Follow and listen to Inside College Basketball Now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Vern's Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio.
Toussaint delivers. Massey drives it deep to straightaway right. Sheets is back. It's out of here. Michael Massey sends it to the right field seats. He goes yard on the south side of Chicago again.
It's Jake Eisenberg on the call as heard here on 610 Sports Radio. Michael Massey's 12th home run of the season puts the Royals up 8-0. 7th pitch of the at-bat, 2nd inning. A 2-on, nobody out. Royals already up 5-0. A 1-2 fastball in the middle of the plate from Touki Toussaint is crushed 411 feet over the wall in right field. It's Massey's, again, 12th home run of the season, 5th home run in 10 games against the White Sox here in 2023. And, you know, as I'm saying that, I remember a conversation I had opening day, one of the first few days of the season. Maybe it was opening day. But with Kansas City Star columnist Sam McDowell, he asked me, Vern, how many home runs do you think Michael Massey's going to hit? I said 13. And he scoffed. He scoffed like those columnists do. Columnists really outside of Vahe Gregorian. They all think they know everything. Well, Sam, we need one more home run from Michael Massey, and I'm dead on. I think Sam had him for 5. Yeah, Sam McDowell, I'm going at you. Approaching 11 o'clock as the Royals win for the 45th time this season. That's right. Yeah, I'm putting the crosshairs on you, brother. Michael Massey, 1-for-5 here in Game 2, highlighted, of course, by that 3-run home run, an 8-0 lead. Moments later became a 9-0 lead. Royals gave it all back, but hang on to win the nightcap 11-10. They dropped the opener of this doubleheader in Chicago 6-2. Still with the worst record in Major League Baseball, still the only team with 100 losses. As a matter of fact, the Royals have 101 losses on the season. I want to hear from the starting pitchers. If you missed what Brady Singer had to say after his disappointing start in Game 1, Brady, 5 1/3 innings, 6 runs on 9 hits, 2 walks, 2 strikeouts, and he fell to 8-11 on the season. Said this after the game to Bally Sports, Kansas City.
Command was pretty bad, and obviously walked a few guys, and scored 5 there in the first, and caught a bit of damage there, and Mo was able to get through that, and get through 5 there, and get some quick outs after that.
We've talked about the sinker before. Is the movement still off for you? You feel like?
Yeah, it was definitely better today. I think we've been working on it all week, and there in the first, I was, trying to, tweak it a little bit and trying to make it better, and it was a little bit better, throughout the day. But yeah, kind of just trying to do too much there in the first instead of kind of focusing on, kind of command there.
It was the 28th start of the season for Brady. That's a new career high. He also reached a new career high in innings pitched, just surpassing last year's total by 1 out. But he could have another 3 starts, but he's at 153 2/3 innings, a new career high innings pitched. ERA, though, sadly, sitting at 5.5. The other starting pitcher did not factor in the decision. That's Jordan Lyles, who had a perfecto into the 5th inning. 12 up, 12 down. First pitch he throws in the 5th inning is a solo home run to Eloy Jimenez. The only home run that Jordan Lyles allowed. He gives up 7 runs on 7 hits. He doesn't walk a batter. Strikes out 3. 7 runs in 5 innings. Only 1 home run allowed. That's his 36th home run allowed this season. Only 2 pitchers in Royals franchise history have allowed more homers in a campaign. Tim Belcher back in 1998, and then the franchise record 38 home runs allowed by Daryl May back in 2004. So Jordan Lyles more than likely will give up 2 more home runs and will end the season as a record holder in Royals franchise history. Let's hear what Jordan Lyles had to say after the game on Bally Sports Kansas City. All right. We'll hear from Jordan Lyles coming up a little bit later. So you're just going to have to wait. I know you want to hear from Jordan Lyles, but you're just going to have to wait. 913-586-7610. Let's go to the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. Rally Mantis writing in. He's given some love to Logan Porter. No doubt. Lopo deserves it. Came to the dish with 2 outs and 2 on in the first inning. Singles up the middle. His first big league plate appearance. His first swing in the big leagues is a 2-run knock to put his team up 4-0. Yeah, no doubt. Congratulations to Logan Porter. From the 816, Vern, what beautiful weather for this special time when we get to enjoy the Chiefs right alongside the Royals. Some real grit shown tonight by the boys in blue. Yeah. I agree on the weather. Gorgeous weather today. It is nice having two professional sports franchises. I'm with you on that. And you know what? Now, you know what? I'm not getting with that. You guys are 45-101. The least I can ask is that you don't roll over. That's a pretty low bar. You know, to play with grit, to keep games closed. This is your job, okay? This isn't high school. This isn't intramurals. This isn't college. You're not on scholarship. You're making a lot of money. Go out there and play the game hard. And I know, not every team does. Shoot, this White Sox team at times looks like they're just going through the motions. But that doesn't mean I'm going to throw a parade or even throw a bouquet the way of my team because they don't roll over and die. I'm sorry. I have a tough time doing that. When you have the worst record in Major League Baseball, you know, okay, you keep fighting. Congratulations. But 10 years from now, all I'm going to see is that this was the worst team in franchise history. So save it with the grit. I'm sorry. Royals on pace to finish the year with the franchise most 112 losses. They win game 2 11-10, they drop game 1 6-2. Phone lines are open 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Quick timeout. We'll hear from Jordan Lyles and get to your thoughts after this.
Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Hey, it's Travis Kelce, and you're listening to the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio.
The 3-1. There's the curve, ripped toward third, pass Moncada into left field, base hit. Porter rounds third base, Wilson waves him home, throws cut off, Porter scores standing, RBI single, Michael Garcia. The Royals retake the lead in the top of the seventh. It's 10-9.
And they'd hang on to win 11-10. Jake Eisenberg, as heard here on 610 Sports Radio. A doubleheader on the south side of Chicago sees the boys drop the opener 6-2, but again win the finale 11-10. That seventh inning, one out, RBI single from Michael Garcia was really the play of the game. Royals up 9-0. They give it all back with an 8-run sixth inning. And now we're tied going to the seventh. Logan Porter leads off after getting hit by a pitch. He advances to second on a Dairon Blanco walk and comes around to score, as we just heard, on Michael Garcia's third hit of the night. Garcia came into game 2, 0 for his previous 20. And then he reaches base 4 times in the nightcap, 3 singles and a ninth inning walk. 913-586-7610. Carlos Hernandez picks up the save, his fourth of the season. Taylor Clark picks up the win, his third of the season. But as promised, let's hear from the starting pitcher, Jordan Lyles. 7 runs on 7 hits in 5 innings of work. Here's what he had to say after the game to Bally Sports Kansas City.
Obviously good early on, and then we ran into that sixth inning. Tough when the guys battle and put so many good at-bats in the first, 2-3 innings. And we're doing a pretty good job getting some quick outs first handful, and then just ran into too many consecutive hits.
You mentioned that they were taking some pretty good at-bats there. It wasn't just, you know, mistake pitches. Is that how you felt too?
Yeah, I was referring to our guys taking good at-bats early on, putting up a big number. But, yeah, in the sixth inning. What did he say?
Q said that the White Sox were taking good at-bats there in the sixth.
Yeah, they weren't all, I mean, there's a lot of hits, but they weren't, I think there was maybe 2 mistakes. The ball's down the line, Seeker's in off the plate, Devon and Robert we got to where we wanted to go, and they were better in that moment. But yeah, we'll just look at the film, see if there's anything that stands out. Obviously, it's tough. Could be a lot worse without a win, team win.
What was it like?
That's Jordan Lyles following his five innings of seven-run baseball. Thanks again to Bally Sports Kansas City for the audio. My game notes following this 11-10 Royals victory are brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow Service. Two stolen bases on the day for Dairon Blanco give him 20 on the season. Michael Garcia ripped a bag in Game 2, his 21st. And Bobby ripped one in Game 1. Bobby now has 42. That's fourth most in Major League Baseball. But that trio, Blanco, Garcia, Witt Jr., each of them with 20 stolen bases, it's the first time the Royals have had a trio with 20 bags or more since 2014, when Gerard Dyson, Alcides Escobar, and Lorenzo Cain all pulled off the feat. I see Dan out in KCK on the text line giving some love to Salvador Perez. Salvi had three hits today, moved him past Mike Sweeney. Salvi now with the seventh most base hits in Royals franchise history. A long way to go, though, if he's going to reach number six on the list, if he's going to reach and pass Alex Gordon. He's more than 200 base hits away from the great Gordo. Back to the text line, the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7610, Anthony in Blue Springs. Fern, the April team would have folded after losing the lead, but this September team is trying to grind out wins. I love the effort. Thanks for the time. Okay, I'll agree with that. I'm not going to fight you on that. But that's also the reason why I don't give this team all that much credit for fighting. Now, what's different about this team compared to the April team? Franmil Reyes and Jackie Bradley Jr. and Hunter Dozier and Nicky Lopez and guys that were comfortable. Guys that have been in the big leagues, know what it takes to stay in the big leagues, and felt somewhat confident that they too would stay in the big leagues. But this September team, how many of these guys should feel as if they truly have their footing in the show? How many of these guys put their head on the pillow tonight knowing or feeling fairly confident that they're going to be playing consistent innings? They're going to see their name in the lineup consistently in 2024 and 2025. How many of them? Salvi, Bobby, Michael. That's it. So if you don't know if you are going to be employed in a year or two, I would imagine you're going to fight for a job. That's why I don't give them credit. You're living your dream, and if you want your dream to continue, you better play with your hair on fire, and that's what they're doing. So, Anthony, I agree with your point, but in making that point, I think you're validating mine. And we don't need to throw a parade or even throw a bouquet the way of the team for fighting. You're living your dream. It's the least you can do. Few more from the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. Raj in the Ozarks. Vern, we need pitchers. We need three starters, two middle relievers, and a closer. How we get there from point A to point B in just 5 months is yet to be determined. Signed, Raj in the Ozarks. Three starters, two middle relievers, and a closer. No doubt on the closer. Middle relievers, I think they're a dime a dozen. Three starters. Yeah, you know what? I would agree with that. I think you get one starter, one closer. I think a middle reliever comes from within. And then you're going to need to find the Ryan Yarbrough of this year. You're going to need to find the Aroldis Chapman of this year. Those are the breaks. Sounds difficult. I'm not saying it's going to be easy to find another Yarbrough, to find another Aroldis Chapman, but that's the job. That's the job. That's what you got to do if you're going to put a product on the field that is playing competitive baseball in August of next year. It's not going to be easy. How could it be when your team is on pace for 110 losses? It's like I talked about earlier today on the On Deck Show. This team's a couple of years away at the earliest from competing. You lose 110 games.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Travis Kelce, and you're listening to the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio.
The 3-1. There's the curve, ripped toward third, pass Moncada into left field, base hit. Porter rounds third base, Wilson waves him home, throws cut off, Porter scores standing, RBI single, Michael Garcia. The Royals retake the lead in the top of the seventh. It's 10-9.
And they'd hang on to win 11-10. Jake Eisenberg, as heard here on 610 Sports Radio. A doubleheader on the south side of Chicago sees the boys drop the opener 6-2, but again win the finale 11-10. That seventh inning, one out, RBI single from Michael Garcia was really the play of the game. Royals up 9-0. They give it all back with an 8-run sixth inning. And now we're tied going to the seventh. Logan Porter leads off after getting hit by a pitch. He advances to second on a Dairon Blanco walk and comes around to score, as we just heard, on Michael Garcia's third hit of the night. Garcia came into game two 0 for his previous 20. And then he reaches base four times in the nightcap, three singles and a ninth inning walk. 913-586-7610. Carlos Hernandez picks up the save, his fourth of the season. Taylor Clark picks up the win, his third of the season. But as promised, let's hear from the starting pitcher, Jordan Lyles. 7 runs on 7 hits in 5 innings of work. Here's what he had to say after the game to Bally Sports Kansas City.
Obviously good early on, and then we ran into that sixth inning. Tough when the guys battle and put so many good at-bats in the first, two, three innings. And we're doing a pretty good job getting some quick outs first handful, and then just ran into too many consecutive hits.
You mentioned that they were taking some pretty good at-bats there. It wasn't just, mistake pitches. Is that how you felt too?
Yeah, I was referring to our guys taking good at-bats early on, putting up a big number. In the sixth inning. What did he say?
Q said that the White Sox were taking good at-bats there in the sixth.
Yeah, they weren't all, there was a lot of hits, but they weren't, I think there was maybe 2 mistakes. The ball's down the line, Seeker's in off the plate to Vaughn and Robert. We got to where we wanted to go, and they were better in that moment. We'll just look at the film, see if there's anything that stands out. Obviously, it's tough. Could be a lot worse without a win, team win.
What was it like?
That's Jordan Lyles following his 5 innings of 7-run baseball. Thanks again to Bally Sports Kansas City for the audio. My game notes following this 11-10 Royals victory are brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow Service. 2 stolen bases on the day for Dairon Blanco give him 20 on the season. Michael Garcia ripped a bag in game 2, his 21st. And Bobby ripped one in game 1. Bobby now has 42. That's 4th most in Major League Baseball. But that trio, Blanco, Garcia, Witt Jr., each of them with 20 stolen bases, it's the first time the Royals have had a trio with 20 bags or more since 2014, when Gerard Dyson, Alcides Escobar, and Lorenzo Cain all pulled off the feet. I see Dan on Dan out in KCK on the text line giving some love to Salvador Perez. Salvi had three hits today, moved him past Mike Sweeney. Salvi now with the seventh most base hits in Royals franchise history. A long way to go, though, if he's going to reach number six on the list, if he's going to reach and pass Alex Gordon. He's more than 200 base hits away from the great Gordo. Back to the text line, the Jays Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7610, Anthony in Blue Springs. Vern, the April team would have folded after losing the lead, but this September team is trying to grind out wins. I love the effort. Thanks for the time. Okay, I'll agree with that. I'm not going to fight you on that. But that's also the reason why I don't give this team all that much credit for fighting. Now, what's different about this team compared to the April team? Franmil Reyes and Jackie Bradley Jr. and Hunter Dozier and Nicky Lopez and guys that were comfortable. Guys that have been in the big leagues, know what it takes to stay in the big leagues, and felt somewhat confident that they too would stay in the big leagues. But this September team, how many of these guys should feel as if they truly have their footing in the show? How many of these guys put their head on the pillow tonight knowing or feeling fairly confident that they're going to be playing consistent innings? They're going to see their name in the lineup consistently in 2024 and 2025. How many of them? Salvi, Bobby, Michael. That's it. So if you don't know if you are going to be employed in a year or two, I would imagine you're going to fight for a job. That's why I don't give them credit. You're living your dream, and if you want your dream to continue, you better play with your hair on fire, and that's what they're doing. So, Anthony, I agree with your point, but in making that point, I think you're validating mine. And we don't need to throw a parade or even throw a bouquet the way of the team for fighting. You're living your dream. It's the least you can do. Few more from the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. Raj in the Ozarks. Vern, we need pitchers. We need three starters, two middle relievers, and a closer. How we get there from point A to point B in just 5 months is yet to be determined. Signed, Raj in the Ozarks. Three starters, two middle relievers, and a closer. No doubt on the closer. Middle relievers, I think they're a dime a dozen. Three starters. Yeah, you know what? I would agree with that. I think you get one starter, one closer. I think a middle reliever comes from within. And then you're going to need to find the Ryan Yarbrough of this year. You're going to need to find the Aroldis Chapman of this year. Those are the breaks. Sounds difficult. I'm not saying it's going to be easy to find another Yarbrough, to find another Aroldis Chapman, but that's the job. That's the job. That's what you got to do if you're going to put a product on the field that is playing competitive baseball in August of next year. It's not going to be easy. How could it be when your team is on pace for 110 losses? It's like I talked about earlier today on the On Deck Show. This team's a couple of years away at the earliest from competing. You lose 110 games, you're not turning that around in one summer. Now, you could be better next year, no doubt. You better be better next year, but I'm talking about competing. You know, you want to point to the Orioles, you want to point to the Reds. They didn't lose 100 games, or excuse me, they didn't lose 110 games and then find themselves in playoff position the very next year. The Diamondbacks lost 110 in 2021, and now they find themselves in playoff position, or at least they can fight for a spot in the postseason as we head down the stretch. So you're at least a couple of years away. So, Raj, no, I don't think that checklist is going to be complete at the end of the offseason. And then finally on the text line from the 620, Vern, Jake Eisenberg mentioned on the broadcast that the home third base dugout of the Chicago White Sox, which seemed weird to me. So, Vern, I looked it up. Fun fact, 18 Major League Baseball teams have their home dugouts on the first base side of the diamond, like the boys in blue, while the other 12 teams are weirdos, like the White Sox. Anyway, I thought it was interesting. I do too. Thank you very much for writing that in. I've actually wondered that number. Now I know, 18 and 12. Thank you very much. All right, the number that matters the most is the win-loss number. And the wins are at 45 following today's split of a doubleheader. The losses are at 101. We'll see what they can do tomorrow. Now, as far as the series between the Royals and White Sox, that's dead even. 6-6 going into tomorrow's finale. Not only is it a rubber match for the series, it's a rubber match for the season series. And it's going to be Alec Marsh. Well, eventually it'll be Alec Marsh. Steven Cruz is going to start the game. He's going to square off with Chicago right-hander Mike Clevinger. It's a 6:40 first pitch, and I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 5:30. Thanks to Grant Nicholson for the help back at the studio. Long day of baseball. Long day of Royals-White Sox baseball. So, Grant, I appreciate the help. And I appreciate you listening. That's to Grant and to you out there listening. I'll talk to you tomorrow at 5:30, the finale on the South Side on 610 Sports Radio. Take care.
You've been listening to Vern's postgame show.
Diving is MJ Melendez. Did he make that catch? He did!
Check out the All Things Vern channel on 610sports.com and the Odyssey app to stay up to date with your boys in blue.
10 strikeouts through 7 scoreless innings for Brady Singer.
On your home of the Royals, 610 Sports Radio. We now take you back to...
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.